Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
If you could change one thing about your home, what would it be? A new kitchen, a new master bath, maybe put in a pool. What if you could do it with no money out of pocket and cheaper monthly payments? SaveWithConrad.com can help, and you can even skip your next two house payments. NMLS number 65084, equal housing lender, SaveWithConrad.com.
What is going on, DDP Snake Pit fans? It's another edition of DDP Snake Pit right here on Podcast Heat. I'm John Alba, joined as I am every single week by the bona fide Hall of Famers themselves. First, Mr. Jake the Snake Roberts. Jake, what's going on, my friend?
Oh, just trying to wake up, man. I had a chilly sleep last night. Oh, I'm sorry, Dallas. You got to try that someday, kid.
Dude, I got the chilly now. I got the
chilly. You got it on the bed?
I got it on the bed. I got it on the bed.
Man, I don't believe it.
It was my wife, Paige, who literally put it over the most.
Yeah.
You know, really. So
well, I'm right there with her.
Yeah.
I love getting in that bed when it's ice cold, man.
Yeah. Who doesn't?
Reminds me of one of my ex-wives.
No,
I knew there was a punchline to that.
And of course, that's what I'm in love with.
Of course, Diamond Dallas Page, DDP. What's up, man?
I got to put over the chilly sleep too. They're paying us to say that, but it really works, you know. And that's a beautiful thing because I told Conrad going in that I'm not going to talk about anything that I don't like personally.
I can't and do that.
Yeah, I can't do it. So that's why the sponsors that we have here, like Chili Sleep, you know, they work.
Yeah.
And I'm going to talk about something. I don't care if it's a burrito. I'm going to tell everybody about it, you know. And
that's not going to end well.
But you know what I'm saying? You know me, Jake, for 30-plus years. You know, I only talk about stuff that I really use, I really believe in.
If he likes it, you can't shut him up about it. But if he don't like it, you can't shut him up about it.
Well,
I'll bash it.
Don't worry.
Well, I only bash it to you. I don't bash it publicly.
Yeah, I know.
You know,
we'll certainly talk about that later. But we are talking about someone today who is cooler than the other side of the pillow. And that, of course, is Kevin Nash himself. Big Daddy Cool. One of the coolest guys that's ever stepped foot in a professional wrestling ring and a guy that both of you know very, very well. Oh, man, he's been all over the place. Just launched the Click This podcast. It's off to wild success rate so far. Kevin Nash, guys, the first thing that comes to mind when I say his name, what is it? Dallas, let's start with you.
Brother, like there is, besides Jake, Steve Austin, you know, I don't think there's anybody closer to me than Kevin Nash. You know, and, you know, it goes way back from, you know, we're both bar business dudes, you know, and, you know, we click. We're ballers, we're basketball players, you know, we just clicked and we were bottom guys, you know, trying to get a break. So, we've been through everything together, you know, whether he was in New York or not, we still talk, meaning WWE, we still talked the whole time.
Jake, what about you?
Poetry in motion, man. You know, he walked like a big man. You know, he had that stride, and it just spewed confidence. You know, some people might have looked at it and thought something else, but to me, it spewed confidence, man. He knew where he was going and what he wanted to do. But he had his own speed, And he ran at that speed, man, and it was a big man speed, even though he could go faster.
Yeah, because he was he was 6'4". It wasn't like he was 6'10".
No.
And he was, anatomically all the way, like he didn't look like a giant. Yo, he looked like a big, good-looking dude who, man, women love that cat.
Oh, my God.
I remember we walked into a strip joint, believe it or not, one night.
I can't believe
it. No way.
And it was nobody in it. It was some one of those ones out and away in the middle of nowhere. And we walked in, and the girls got up and just gave him a stand. It wasn't for me. It was for him. They gave him like a standing ovation. I go, dude, you're over here. who knows what happened after that? I can't remember.
Yeah.
But the guy, you can't fake cool.
You know?
And that cat had it all over him. But you got to go back to the beginning, you know, where they tried to give him monster pushes. They didn't do it the right way, like the Master Blaster, I believe. Was that the first one? The Master Blasters?
The Master Blasters. He was one half of the Master Blasters. He was steel, along with iron.
I mean, oh, my God, he was jacked back then. I mean, he's got big shoulders to begin with. I just saw him in a picture of on Instagram. We'll pop it up here on the YouTube thing. I mean, he looks unbelievable. He's the only guy in his 60s who looks better than I do in my 60s. And he looks ridiculous. I mean, unbelievably great. But his shoulders, back when he was the Master Blaster, yes, I said that. Bringing the Master Blaster, I mean, it was like cannonballs, on him. And it's just so many gimmicks they put on it. You knew eventually something was going to hit, but not hitting WCW. Because once you fall there, went to New York, though, and became the biggest star. There's so many times that during his Hall of Fame speech, he actually thanked me, which was really cool, to hear he said something about it. I probably got my beachfront home, to Dallas, because there was times where he wanted to quit. He got frustrated, like we all do at the bottom.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, dude, don't you dare. Don't you think about it, bro. You are going to be one of the biggest stars in the world. You're going to be one of them. They're not going to keep you down forever. You're going to be that guy. And I would say to him all the time, you just can see it, right, Jake?
Yeah,
it's
so hard, with somebody his size. And he was an athlete. You got to give him that. He was an athlete coming in, man. And he could move. So what's holding me back? What was holding him back was the office. They were holding him back because they were coming up with these ideas that just didn't work. Just because if you think it might be good, it may not fit the guy. And that's a horrible thing, man, is to be saddled with something that doesn't feel right.
Happens so many times
to you
guys.
Because if you go out there and you don't feel right, man, it ain't going to work. Because the people can smell it. The fans aren't stupid, guys. They know what the hell is right and what isn't. That's like Steve Austin being the ringmaster. You betcha. Well, that works, for the Hollywood Blonde, whatever he was.
Well, Hollywood Blondes kind of work.
It kind of worked, but the hair was like going quick. I know that feeling, but I'm fixing to take care of mine.
Keep
out of it.
Well, you can also thank Andre the Giant for that one, too.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to have that taken care of soon.
Okay. That's good to hear. Well, he's very much like you, Dallas, because he gets into wrestling much later than some people do. It's around 30 years old he actually starts training for it. From your guys' first experiences with him, I know, Dallas, you probably saw it more up close in person. But how quickly did he take to the art of pro wrestling?
Say that again.
How quickly did he take to the art of pro wrestling?
Well, he got it. There's certain guys who get it right away. The mechanics. And I was one of those guys who got it, but my mechanics weren't there. That was going to take reps, and it was going to take time, and figuring out. To me, it's being a big man. When I look at the big man, there's been some great big men out there. Taker, Bam Bam, Vader. I mean, just to name a couple, Kamala. There's some great big men have been out there. It's hard to differentiate. Well, I'm not going to go down. I'm not going to do this. There was, you know, Nash knew, and it took time, but by the time he went up to New York and worked with Michaels and Scott, I mean, that's where, you know, every night being out there and being at ringside with Michaels and Scott in the ring, you know, like, you just, he's a sponge. So now he could really be around greatness. And Scott had just hit that spot of greatness, you know, becoming Razor. That took, you know, 6 years, you know, to get there. It just doesn't happen. Like, you've got to have the reps.
It's not just because you're putting on a jacket, man, and go out there. That's not the way it works. You got to feel comfortable in your own skin, because when you become a character, everything that you do has to go through that character. You know, for me, I had to move like a snake. I had to have the attitude, slide in the ring, slide out, you know, and just do different things that mimic a snake. Same thing for the big guy, man. He had to quit taking bumps that he was used to taking. And that's hard to do, too. I know when I went down to Mexico, I was considered a big man down there. They told me, don't bump. Right. I'm like, I don't know how to do that.
I wouldn't know how to do that.
You know, because I wanted to go out and boom, 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 boom. And all of a sudden, don't go off your feet. Just swat them out of the air like they're flies. And I admit, once I got started doing that, I caught on real quick.
Yeah, it feels good.
I liked it. I liked it a lot. Hell, I could still wrestle in Mexico if I could go down there. But, you know, it just takes a while for a guy to get that, because your reactions have to be different. The way you take things, the way things are delivered to you is going to be different, and the way you react to them. He's got to have the answer to that question each time. What is it? Boom. He's got to be ready for it. He's got to pop right in. He's got to fall into that slot nice and smooth. But once he did get it, and he got it fairly quick.
He did. He did.
You know, he really did. Surprised me. But he got it really quick. And I think the whole thing was him being out there with Sean and Razor.
Sure.
Well, before he gets a chance to work with Sean and Razor, he has to go through a couple challenging characters. Let's put it that way. First, he is Oz, which is one of the more infamous gimmicks in the history of wrestling in the 1990s, where you take Kevin Nash, this Hall of Famer, and quite literally dress him up as a wizard. And he's also Vinny Vegas. These are two challenging characters that he has to try to overcome. And eventually, by going to WWF, he's able to. But I'd like to hear from you guys. What kind of advice do you have to wrestlers who are maybe saddled with a character that they're not super hot with, they're not super in tune with, but are trying to work through it? What kind of advice can you guys offer?
Well, I can tell you, get the hell away from it. If you don't like the character, stop now. Stop now, because you'll never, ever give it the total 100 out of yourself. You'll never start improvising and thinking along that character lines, because you don't like it. You're going to have an automatic stop button in your head that's like, this sucks. I don't like it. And you're never going to put it the time in that it needs to be get it over. You know, you don't put a rotting fish in somebody's pocket and tell somebody to go out and act like it smells good. No, it don't. It sucks. You know, and I know so many guys. Well, we had a guest on here, Raven.
Yeah, sure.
You know, they wanted him to be Johnny Polo. They wanted him to do this. They wanted, they didn't, you know, that wasn't him. And he wasn't into it. But look what he did once he got his character. Once he got his character, brother, he was off to the bank. And the same thing with Vinny Vegas. It's a great character, but it wasn't him. It was not him. Just as Steve Austin wasn't,
you know,
ringmaster. You know,
the bottom line is, when you have you're saddled with something, and I watch some guys, you know, come in to do stuff, and I'm like, oh boy, it was like making me the stalker. Like nothing could have been worse, and you know, it was set up to fail from the get go. Yeah. You know, but it is what it is. You know. You have to leave. Like, you just can't. Example would be Cody Rhodes. He was that, they made him the Stardust character.
Yeah.
whatever it was called.
And a phenomenal job he did.
Yeah. But it wasn't him.
No.
You know what I mean? He played the, if you're going to be solid with the role and you're going to take the paycheck, you better learn the role as good as you can, whether it's you or it's not, because if that's what you got, there's a good chance that's what you're going to be stuck with until you can freaking get past that next thing. Like, you get hurt and you come back, or you leave. And it takes a lot of guts to leave. You know, like Malachi, you know, Tommy End. I mean, that guy's a great worker. And it was a blessing to him to leave the WWE and go over, because he could do what he wanted to do in AEW. That's the way it was in WCW. You could pretty much do, if they came up with a gimmick, it's because they didn't have anything for you and you weren't coming up with anything yourself, because there was more freedom there. And in WWE, and you can, all you got to do is look at NXT. Certain guys get stuck in certain roles, and I'm like, those guys are toast. Like, I don't care how good they become until they leave. Like, let's look at Drew McIntyre, another great big man, you know, 276 pounds. I was talking to him the other day. I mean, he came in as a chosen one with the monster push, and he thought everybody came in like that. He was 21 years old. There's a picture that we have of Jake and him when he's 16 years old, and Jake is giving a seminar, you know, up in Scotland.
Yeah.
But that guy, you know, he thought that everybody came in like this. So you get a little bit of arrogance, a little bit of air to it. And he'll be the first to tell you he did not handle it properly because he was so young and he wasn't American. He didn't know. And so then, I guess, whatever reason, they start pushing him down the card. And then they pushed him as low as he could go. And then he left and became Drew McIntyre again, Drew Galloway, and came back with a hell of a push all the way through and looked like the guy that they thought he would be. But it takes time sometimes. And that's the deal with Kev. Like, I knew because I was with him all the time. Like, I'm filming, it's Vinny Vegas, we were together.
Yeah.
The three of us together a bunch of times.
Walking down the side of the road.
On I-10.
Yeah.
In I-10, especially 30 years ago, there's not a light for miles. And when it's dark.
It's real dark.
It's real dark and cloudy, like no stars, no moon. Oh. It's really dark. And those guys thought I was screwing around. We had taken a...
Rick Rude's car.
Rick Rude.
64.
Beautiful Impala convertible. And he came in the locker room. And by this time, we're driving with Jake. You know, we're getting his bags. We're just hanging out with Yoda, you know, trying to learn as much as we can. And Jake was very giving. You know, he loved to talk business and, you know, knew how to, you know, cut you off and, okay, now listen, you know. And that's where a lot of learning came for me and, you know, some for Kev as well. And we're on this road and I'm driving the car.
Oh, my God.
And all of a sudden the generator light comes on and the car shuts off. And I'm like, what the hell is that? And I go, Jake's like, stop fucking around. He's in the back seat. Nash is in shotgun. And I'm like, dude, I'm not fucking around. It just went out. And those old cars, you could turn them on while they're driving still.
Yeah.
Boom, started right up again. Jake goes, stop screwing around. Just drive. I go,
just get us home. He had a long trip, man.
Long trip. And it did it again, and the generator light came on, and the car shut off. Now we're on the middle of this black, dark road.
Can't see nothing.
And like abyss black. You know, the Three Stooges get out, look under the hood. None of us know anything about.
And who's going to stop and pick up three guys that look like us?
6'4", 6'6", and 6'10".
It's not happening.
So we're literally, we got a case of beer.
Thank God.
I'm freaking under the thing. I'm looking around, and I look over at Kev. I go, Kev, where'd Jake go? He goes, he just started walking. And he disappeared into the darkness. And where, how far did you walk?
I don't know, man. I just walked till I seen a light.
And it was one of those little things on the side of
They have little phones. I don't know if they still have them there.
Call box.
Yeah. And Jake found that. And next thing you know, this is hours later.
Yeah.
Because like we're not leaving. We're not leaving Rick Rude's friggin' car.
No.
On the side of the road. Uh-uh. You know, that crazy bastard. No way.
Kill you.
So here comes Jake in this. It looked like a Mack truck. Tow truck. It was huge. And Jake's sitting there and he's pulling up. We can see him. And we're thinking, oh my God, here comes a tow truck. Of course, Jake's sitting in the damn thing and he's got a beer in his hand.
And, I have some friends of mine, good old Southern boys. Sure, we'll help you, Jake. Just take a picture with Jake.
Yeah.
I had the whole family out, man.
Oh, dude. Wait,
they were such a blessing.
You big fuckers were all in the truck. I had to sit in the back of the because there's no more room.
Sure.
So I'm sitting, I'm laying down in the back of the car as we're driving. Anything could happen. And as we come rolling
cut
up.
Him loose and let him go for a while.
I mean, it was the Copenhagen dipping, coupon clipping, draft beer drinking, redneck crew had all come out.
Yeah.
Probably 40 people at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning are all out there to meet Jake the Snake Roberts and his two J-Brones. You know, and Kev and I would talk about that. You know, the people who would have the picture up on the wall with Jake, and there we are on the outside.
Man, that would be a hell of a thing to have in your house.
Well, I would love that. I would love to have that picture.
I mean, how do they feel knowing that all three of these guys are in the Hall of Fame? And
pretty crazy.
Well, I know how that night could have been a lot easier for you guys, and that would have been if you had Car Shield. Because
come on now.
You're right. You're right.
Yeah, we did that. We didn't think you'd get it.
This episode is brought to you by Car Shield. Makes it easy and affordable to protect your car from expensive repairs and getting trapped in the middle of nowhere at 4:30 in the morning. And that's just for starters. Car Shield is the number one. That's the number one auto protection company in the U.S. and offers protection plans for around $100 a month. The plans cover more parts than ever before, whether your car is 5,000 miles or 150,000 miles or however many miles Rick Rude's car had on it. And it is so simple to get your car fixed. When you need a repair, you get to choose the mechanic and Car Shield's administrators handle the rest. Yes, it is the big thing, Jake, because you have complete control. You don't have to deal with the paperwork. There's no headaches. Everything is taken care of. And if your car happens to break down, the generator light comes on, you're stuck on the side of the road. Well, plans through Car Shield include coast-to-coast roadside assistance. How helpful would that have been that night for you guys?
I don't even know how those guys can do that because that's like the greatest deal ever. It puts AAA to shame.
Yeah.
You know, so
puts everybody to shame.
If you don't have it, I got it now. You know, I from both my cars, you know, for me and my wife, in case she's out there by herself.
Oh, man.
You know, you want
it's
it. You
a
want
a lifesaver, man.
Right. And freaking, it protects you. It, like when it says Car Shield, it's the proper word because it does protect you from being out there in the middle of nowhere and that monster tow truck bill. Never mind fixing the car. Yeah, so that's pretty amazing. If you don't have Car Shield, you're missing it, man.
Customer, man, you don't know what these guys are going to charge you, but you're going to pay it because you need help. You know, I don't think my old boy charges anything.
The beauty of this is that Car Shield's administrators are there for you with rental car options and trip reimbursement at no extra cost. And if you get your coverage today, you'll lock in your price now, and it will never go up. So as long as you own your car, no matter how old it is, you're protected from the rising cost of parts and repairs for your vehicle. And we want to help you out. Car Shield protects my wallet. It protects their wallets. And they're going to do the same for you. Go to carshield.com/podcast to start your plan and lock in your pricing forever. That's carshield.com/podcast. A deductible may apply. Boy, you guys could have used it that night. I'm sure of that.
Oh, man. We made it back, brother. We were a little bit worn the next morning.
Yeah, we made it back just in time to catch that flight in the morning.
That's good.
It was a long day. But it's one of those, it's a great story to go back and think about. You know?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for.
And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
It's about surviving, man. It's about adapting to the moment, you know. You can sit there on your paws and do nothing, or you can get up and try something, you know. And as an athlete, you know, you're given – that's what concerns me about the guys today, is a lot of these guys are be given an opportunity, and they're just not ready for it mentally. You know, they want to be a wrestler. But they know nothing about how it works. They think the whole thing is about how you know, getting in the ring and wrestling. That's not all of it, bro. There's a lot more. You gotta walk like a wrestler. You gotta look like a wrestler. You gotta be like a wrestler. You gotta be 24/7. Same thing with these characters, man. And you're thrown in there, and you're like a baby. You know, you're like raw meat, man, being thrown to the dogs, man. Nobody's gonna wait for you. You got to step it up and go. And which direction do you go? And if you don't know, you're not going to help yourself, man. And Kevin Nash, you know, he was very fortunate to be able to go to the WWEF, whatever, and become something other than what he had been labeled.
Yeah. His run as Diesel changed the course of his career, and he met some of his closest friends there during that time. But when I think of Kevin Nash, I associate him with these game-changing moments in the 90s in professional wrestling. And the first of those is the curtain call. And that happens at Madison Square Garden, where it's the last time that we're seeing the click in the WWF. We know that Kevin Nash and Scott Hall are headed for greener pastures, and it's at Madison Square Garden. There's a cage match after the match. They all break character, and there's a fan that happens to be recording it, and it's one of the first times in the public forum that there's that breakdown of kayfabe per se. And that one moment lays the groundwork for an entire set of new characters that we're going to see in WCW that change the business. What do you guys remember about hearing about the curtain call? And in your opinion, how seismic was the effect of it?
I'll let you go with that one, bro.
It was, you know, God, again, getting the curtain call is a great name for it because it was the last, you know, last go around, but also because it took you behind the curtain, but it was out in front of everybody, you know, and you gotta even hear the backstory to this. Like the NWO started in my garage with Eric Bischoff talking about Scott and Scott coming in. And then I brought up Kevin and Bischoff was like, ah, he's an asshole. And I'm like, what? He's like, he lied to me. I go, bro, he had to lie to you. Because Bischoff had said to him when Bischoff came in, Bischoff wasn't in charge like he would later be in charge. All he was executive producer, which is a lot. You know, there was someone running wrestling, pay-per-views, and he was running the television. So when Kev, he really liked Kev. But it's really hard to take a character, unless you're going to take him and put him out for a year or two. But he didn't need that. He needed to work.
Yeah.
You know, he needed to keep working. He needed reps. And I'm pretty sure it was, they were talking about a bodyguard for Shawn Michaels. And I'm pretty sure it was Rick Steiner. It was one of the Steiner boys, you know, that said, man, what about Nash? And so, you know, Bish said to him when he asked for his release, you know, are you going thinking about going to New York? He's like, no, I just want to have my release. I want to be done with it. I'm going back to the bar business.
And he was a manager, a day manager. You're always a bouncer when you're 6'10". But he ran the floor for the afternoons at the Cheetah, which is, you know, Jake's his father, ex-father-in-law, you know, owned.
And, yeah, my wife.
Yeah, right. And this is like the spot in Atlanta. So Kev was making great money. And WCW, by this time, I go, Bish, he was losing money. I mean, he's losing money on the road because Watson came in and changed the pay structure. So
screw Bill Watts. Did
stop,
I say it? I'm
stopped.
Stop.
Stop. You know, he's just wanted to get out of there. And he, of course, getting this opportunity to come up and be Sean's bodyguard was huge. But again, you know, it's this, I'm pretty sure it was the Steiners that made that happen. So Bish was pissed because he asked him, and he had to lie to him and say, once I made him understand that, he was like, so he's a good guy. I said, dude, he's one of the best cats I know. And he's really smart in his business, man. And you've seen what's happened up in New York with him and how well he's done up there. I go, he said, when's his contract up? I said, I don't know. I said, you want me to call? He's like, yeah. So I picked up the phone and I called him. And it was right around, obviously, around the time Scott was. Now, I know both of those because Scott and I had discussions about this. Neither one of them wanted to leave WWE. They didn't want to go. But Vince wouldn't give him any kind of guaranteed money, wouldn't give him, you know, wouldn't give him the spot. And I think that, you know, looking at from their point of view, I think that it was one of those things that they're not going to leave. You know what I mean? But Bish could, you know, he could offer him what he wanted because he had opened the checkbook up to be able to grab. And these two guys, to get these two guys, I knew it was going to be big. I didn't know it was going to change the business. Yeah, I didn't know it was going to be like that. But I'm the only, besides Kevin Sullivan, and I don't know who else knew, but really nobody knew when Scott was going to show up and when that happened. And then I'm bringing the big man and then Kev. I mean, it changed the face of everything, man. And
overnight.
Yeah, it was just Scott coming in. I'll never forget watching Enos. Enos was in the ring. I can't remember who he was with, but here comes Scott walking out, grabs the microphone, and comes to the ring, and they're all just looking at each other.
What do we do?
Well, like what the hell's happening? It really, you know, one of the things that we had talked about, because me and he talked a lot about, we spent a lot of time talking wrestling. Like, with Jake, and, you know, Eric was my next-door neighbor. We knew each other from the AWA. We met in a pull-apart fight. I mean, we had history together. And, you know, just, you know, what's their name going to be? Well, why don't you just not tell their name? You know who I am. You know, with Scott coming out with that. Now, he just said he was Razor Ramon by saying, hey, yo, you know, or whatever he said, just looking like that guy. You know, everybody knew who he was. And then you bring the other big man in, and the last names work, Hall and Nash. They're cool names, you know? And, yeah, man, coming in there and watching that, like, from a spectator and knowing what was happening at the same time that it was happening, It was magical, man. Again, I never thought it was going to be that big.
Jake, you're a vet at that time. You've gone through everything in the business to that point in the mid-90s. The Kern call happens, the formation of the Outsiders into the NWO. What's your perspective at the time? Because I'm sure there were probably a lot of veterans that weren't really feeling that breaking down of the fourth wall.
I remember being at the Garden when that happened. I was there, and
were you booking then?
No, I was with Vince. No, but I was there, and it got ugly in the back. There was a lot of shouting.
I'll bet you Vince was out of his mind.
Nope.
No, really?
Nope. He just stood there and watched.
Wow.
Freddie Blassie went fucking maniacal.
Wow.
It was totally, into total meltdown. I think they had to get a doctor back there to get him out. Because he just crushed his heart, his soul, whatever. Arnold Skolin, same thing. He was just... And there were a few of us who were pretty hot. I was one of them. I was hot about it. You know, I didn't think that anybody had the right to go out there and do that. Goes to show you what I know. And it's just my own personal feelings. I'll still stand by them today. I don't care what kind of friendship you've got with anybody. It's not your fucking right to go out and do that. And I'll still stand by that. So I just got to leave that one alone.
Yeah. Well, what's amazing
for me, because I didn't hear about it. You might have heard about it. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, those guys were so tight, you know, that I get it, you know, but I don't think it's anything that was planned. You know, I think, you know, it was emotional and they tore it down, you know, in that match. And then it just, I think it's something that I believe it just happened. And poor Triple H would end up feeling that heat for a while to come.
A long time.
Yeah, because they couldn't put any heat on freaking, on Shawn. He was the guy, you know? And so poor Triple H, I mean, that's why I got so much respect for that cat. You know, everything that, you know, that he did and worked to get to the spot that he would eventually get to, you know, it was pretty amazing. But again, you know, I think it was something that just happened, you know.
Yeah, and it's amazing to think that if that one fan wasn't recording at that moment in time, who knows how big or insignificant it would have ultimately been.
It would have been nothing compared to having that footage,
yeah.
You know. But again, but today, if they did it, 10,000 people would have.
Yeah,
sure. You know, from all different angles.
Yeah,
you know, different animal, but the one person out there, whatever he was doing, probably had a camera and just was, you know, had a video thing on the end of it. But that's some crazy footage to have.
There's no doubt that Kevin Nash brought with him a cool factor to WCW, and you can bring the cool into your bedroom as well with chili sleep. You see, science tells us. I'm good at this, right? Science tells us that the best way to achieve
new tricks.
Science tells us that the best way to achieve and maintain consistent deep sleep is by lowering core body temperature. And temperature controlled sleep repairs muscle after a hard day's work and improves cognitive function, so you always start your day feeling sharp and alert. Lord knows I need that. Well, thankfully, Chili Sleep makes customizable climate-controlled sleep solutions that help you improve your entire well-being, like the Ulurn Cube sleep systems, which are hydro-powered, temperature-controlled mattress toppers that fit over your existing mattress to provide your ideal sleep temperature. And they keep your bed at the perfect temperature for deep sleep, whether you're hot or if you sleep cold. These sleep systems are designed to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, and give you the confidence and energy to power through your day. This is a shoot, guys. This is a total shoot. I hosted 83 Weeks with Eric Bischoff a few weeks ago, and he told me that he doesn't have air conditioning out in Cody, Wyoming in his house. He relies on Chili Sleep to keep his body cool. How crazy is that? That's how good it is.
It's awesome like that. You know, I like the fact that you can adjust it with your phone and set it at certain timers.
Get ready.
Yeah, because if when you're getting up, a lot of times you forget to turn stuff off. But that turns it on, turns it off, chills it up, puts it whatever temperature you want it to be. And I've been out to that Bish's house in Wyoming. He's got a gorgeous ranch out there. And, I can see where, you know, it still gets hot. So good to have that because he doesn't have AC. I know that for a fact.
It is changing the game, Chili Sleep. I promise you guys, this kind of thing will put you at ease. And whether you sleep hot or cold, you're going to be sweat-free. And that is most important. And we want to help you out here. Head over to chilisleep.com/DDPSnake to learn more and save 30% off the purchase of any new Cube or Ula sleep system. This offer is available exclusively for DDP Snake Pit listeners and only for a limited time. That's chili, C-H-I-L-I, sleep.com/DDPSnake to take advantage of this exclusive discount and wake up refreshed every single day. So, Go get on that chilly sleep flow, my friends, because Kevin Nash was flowing into WCW with the NWO. We have this transformative moment, Bash at the Beach. We all know about it. We've talked about it ad nauseum. And eventually the NWO becomes the absolute hottest thing into professional wrestling. And in 1997, Dallas, they start trying to recruit you. And that culminates at January 13th Nitro at the Superdome in New Orleans, where you lead on Nash and Hall that you've joined the NWO. You hug them, you shake their hands, you put on the shirt. And then in one of the more memorable moments in WCW history, diamond cutter to Hall, and you send Nash stumbling over to the floor. I have to imagine this is one of the most electric moments of your entire career. How did Kevin play a role in making that happen?
He got it to happen. It's funny, I was listening to Kevin Sullivan's podcast, and he was doing one on me. So I just like to listen to see what. And Kevin really did a nice job, you know, just going through the entire journey, you know, that we went through. And then Kevin Nash had this idea for Dallas. And it was so funny because it's my idea, but I'm not going to pitch it.
Can't.
And I love it that Kev years later thought it was Nash who did that. Because I went to Kev. I was at that spot, and I talked to Jake about it a million times, that I'm never going to get this opportunity. I'm never going to get this spot where I can prove myself. And as an entertainer in our business,
you got to have that.
You got to have this opportunity, but you also have to have the ideas and the relationships.
Yeah.
My two relationships with him helping me throughout the years is why we had a resurrection of Jake the Snake, because of our relationship. Dusty Rhodes, without Dusty Rhodes, there is no Diamond Dallas Page. Kevin Nash and Scott Hall are very pivotal in my life, from meeting Scott in Florida Championship Wrestling when I was down there with Dream, with him calling me up and asking me to pitch him as a diamond stud, me changing his look. His wife's pregnant, you know, with Cody at the time. He doesn't have a job. Friggin' Kevin Nash and I tag teaming together. All the things we did together in the beginning, like it was me, Scott, Kev, you know, I could have been Raven, you know, maybe, I don't know who else in the car, but we could be four or five big guys in a car. You know, jammed in and sharing stories and growing together. Like I tell people all the time, it's not about who you know or who knows you. It's about who's willing to say they know you. Who's willing to put their name on the line for you. That's what that's what counts. And I went to Kev. Here, Kev and Scott nobody touched them. No one dropped them. They didn't lose a match. Nothing. They for a year and a half. And then I came up with that idea and I just said, hey man, you guys asked me if I want to, you know, come in because the diamond cutter's starting to get hot. And I go, no. What number six you want me? Number seven? What about number three or four? You know, like no. And in real life, if you wanted to do something with me, both of them would go, I'm not doing it. And walked away, they go, oh Dally. He'll get over it. That's the way they would really act, you know? I said, so we do that twice, and the next time we do it, I come in. This is a three-week angle. That's what it's supposed to be. This is the way I lay it out. And Kev loved it. He goes, I'm going to take the diamond cutter too. I went, yeah, right. We'll be lucky if Scott gets to take the diamond cutter. He ain't letting me cut you, dude. You know, meaning Bischoff, you know, right? So he goes, go tell Eric. I go, I'm not telling Eric anything, dude. No, you are.
You are.
He goes, I'm going to go tell Scott, though, first. He goes, hey, you don't think Scott wants to help you? You know, you don't think he remembers? You know, like, I got to ask him. So I went and asked him. He loved it. He goes, go tell Eric. I go, I ain't telling him anything. I go, let's have the big man tell him tonight in the bar. And that was the really cool thing about Nitro. You could, and being on TBS and TNT, you could literally watch you could live the show from 8 to 11, and then 11:01 or 11:07, whenever the show ended, it started again.
Yeah.
We'd be in the bar. And Kev pitched it. And Bish liked it, but he wasn't really ready to, because he wasn't into the whole nepotism thing, because me and him were super tight.
Sure.
You know, like, going to drop these two guys? And he's like, oh, you kind of, like, he didn't really go with it right away. And Scott was like, hey, everybody knows you two are boys. And being your friend's not a good thing? You know, like, I don't know if that works for me. And I was like, wow. Like, thanks, Scotty, you know? And Bitch's like, yeah, we'll do it. And they brought it to Kev Sullivan, and we did it. And then we did the walk away. And then I was supposed to drop them, and it got postponed. And then it got postponed. And then it got postponed. It got postponed, and it was eating at me.
Oh, my God.
Because I'm feeling they're not going to do it. They're not going to do it. And I don't really think the booking committee really believed in me still. And to drop those two guys, I don't know if they really wanted that. Because it took forever. The positive side was, though, it took forever. You know, it laid this storyline out. It was magical, man. And when it finally happened in New Orleans, and freaking Kev, you know, I'm at the curtain. I'm ready for my music to go out and do my thing with Mark Starr. And, you know, they cut my time, and I was, you know, hot about it. And Kev goes, Dally, what do you tell me all the time? What do I tell you all the time? He goes, breathe. He goes, it's live.
They can't stop us.
Yeah, right. Just go out there and have fun, baby. It's your night. And Scott was in his own zone. He'd always be twirling his curl. That's what he would be doing. And just becoming Razor Ramon, you know? And it's what put me the rocket on me that allowed, you know, Randy to, you know, to want to work with me. You know, it was pretty amazing.
Jake, seeing your friend in Dallas have that moment in front of all those fans at the Superdome, how special was that for you?
No, it was a great, great moment for me, man. I was like the kid that got the perfect Christmas present, man. I got a bike, I got a pony, I got it all. To see him get that, because he was so worried. I remember those days, man, because I remember him calling me. And he was upset at first whenever they didn't pick him to be part of the NWO in the very beginning. Because he thought, fuck, these are my guys. Why am I not being pulled in?
Yeah, but I also understood.
Yeah.
I also understood.
I remember telling you, hey, they got to work with somebody. You know?
Yeah.
You can either be number 7 or 8 or 10 or 12, or you can be the guy they're all looking to kick some ass. And that was going to be the money spot. And that was going to be the blast that he needed to get him, establish him as a top star.
Sure.
You know, he got the push when he dropped him. But to establish himself, he needed Savage for that.
Yeah, that was mind-boggling.
That's the monster thing there, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, but back to Kev. If Kev didn't pitch it.
Yeah, it wouldn't have happened.
Wouldn't happen.
That's crazy.
And it was being delayed. They were trying to figure somebody else they could put in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's where it kept being delayed.
But well, that's where the relationship come in. Because even if that was big pitched, they wouldn't have done it.
No.
You know, they wouldn't have done it.
They wouldn't have done the same thing with anybody else.
Yeah, so that's the relationship part. So anybody who's watching this or listening to this, realize it's not about, you just don't call people when you need something. You call them when you want to help something. Help somebody. You know, when I was 22, I heard Zig Ziglar say, you can get whatever you want as long as you help enough people get what they want.
That's right.
And that's the way Jake does his stuff. That's the way I do. It's the way Kevin does. It's the way Scott, I mean, guys help each other, you know? And, you know, God, just watch Resurrection of Jake the Snake to see each other, helping each other all over again. You know, it's a powerful story, you know?
I know you love helping people, Diamond Dallas Page. I know you do. And Jake the Snake Roberts, I know you love helping people too. And one of the ways that you guys are helping people is through AG1. AG1, Absolutely. This is a Diamond Dallas Page favorite. What am I talking about? I'm talking about one delicious scoop of AG1. You're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. It's a special blend of ingredients supporting your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, aging, all of those things. And the beauty of it is it's lifestyle friendly. Whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, or gluten-free, it contains less than 1 gram of sugar. No GMOs, no nasty chemicals or artificial anything, while still tasting good, and it supports better quality sleep and recovery. Dallas, how'd your AG1s go down today?
No, I just, you know, one of the things is I stopped ordering organic juice pretty much because I don't need to. And that shit's expensive.
Yeah, real expensive.
You know, but, you know, AG1 is not. And you're getting all the vitamins and minerals in that you need that you would normally get with you. So, like, when I first saw it, I was like, okay, what's the gimmick?
Yeah, what's the
gimmick? You know, like, what aren't they doing? Yeah. What are they hiding? You know, and when you go through the list, it's like, man, they're doing everything right. And so if I can give it that seal of approval when it comes to something that's food, you know, that's... It's how I feel about Orgain too. When it comes to protein stuff, it's all organic and healthy. These guys are at that same level, and this company's going to blow up huge.
Oh man,
no question in my mind.
Tastes good too.
Yeah, it does. Tastes great.
Like, some stuff you're like, I can't do that shit, man. You know, and this doesn't do that to you, you know.
No, and the beauty is it costs you less than $3 a day. You're investing in your health. Yeah. It's cheaper than your cold brew habit. It's cheaper than getting all the different supplements yourself. You're investing in an all-in-one nutritional insurance, just like Dallas said. And now it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. One scoop in a cup of water every day, that is it. No need for a million different pills and a million different supplements to look out for your health. And to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/DDPSnake. That is athleticgreens.com/DDPSnake to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Rumor has it, $3.99 is Jake the Snake Roberts' favorite price to pay on the market. So they're going to hook you up with that. So
you realize that when you watch our show, not only do we take care of your mind, he takes care of your body, you take care of the car, and that leaves me to go take a nap and sleep on my silly sleep.
Chilly sleep.
I love my job.
You got a good gig, man.
Keep it rolling.
You got a good gig.
I do, man.
Last thing.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
Judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
The last thing I want to hit on Kevin's run with you, Dallas, specifically, in 1999, you guys have the WCW World title match at Slamboree in St. Louis, and he defeats you there. But what's most notable about that is he is the head booker in 1999. And that's when things kind of start to slip a little bit business-wise for WCW, and that leads to, ultimately, 2 years later, the company folding. What do you remember the backstage atmosphere being like with Kevin as one of the bookers? And how challenging is that?
It's really challenging. At one point, I was on that committee. I was like, I'm done. I'm off. It's too challenging. But Kev's got it. Kev's one of the smartest human beings I know. I mean, I know a lot of smart people. I'm married to one. You know, I'm partnered with one of the smartest people I know, Steve Yu. I put Kevin Nash up at that level. The guy can do a lot of different things at one time. You know, it takes like real love of the game, you know, for love of the game, for starters to be able to do that. He spent a lot of time and, you know, just in the way he booked, I thought he did a great job. You know, we were in trouble at that time for a lot of other reasons. You know, people like to blame shit on him, which is total bullshit. You know, it's like, I mean, it was, we had had our run. And, you know, once momentum shifts, when momentum shifts, it's, you could feel it. I mean, you could feel it. I'll never forget listening to Bish on TBN. And he said, you know, it's gotten boring lately because every Monday we're crushing the WWF in the ratings. It's got a little boring. I just know we're going to, and that was like, oh God, that was like the kid. And it wasn't that moment that did it, but it was like, no,
don't say that.
Don't jinx it. it was hard, you know, to get to where we were killing them. Like, I thought, you know, at the time, Bischoff would say stuff like, we are going to beat their ass. And this is like in 95. And I would be thinking, what are you smoking? But again, he was manifesting this. And the fact that he could bring in some of the top guys and had, you know, a bigger, like, checkbook to be able to bring people in. You know, well, that's how, look at LeBron. LeBron goes where the money and the championship's going. You know, it's the same thing. And now you look at today, especially in basketball, guys are forming themselves around who's that next best three guys,
mm-hmm. relationships,
you know, and who they want to really play with and the money. And I thought Kev, you know, overall did a really good job, but it was, you know, it was a time where we were already starting to drift, you know?
Yeah. And with that, unfortunately, comes this perception of how a top guy might book themselves versus some other people on the card. And eventually WCW folds. You guys have a short run in TNA together. And that's really about it after that. But I'd like to ask you both before we answer a couple fan questions here. What do you believe the lasting legacy of Kevin Nash is in professional wrestling? Jake, let's start with you on that one.
That's a tough one, man. Outsiders, man. That's what hits me.
Yeah. I think
because they did change the face of wrestling forever.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But also that I think Kev's, you know, not because he's my buddy. I mean, I look at, you know, Taker was great big man. Bam Bam was great big man. There's been some great big men in the, you know, our business. But Nash really had it all, from the look to the rap to the work, to the endurance, to the time. You said he's a Hall of Famer. He's a two-time Hall of Famer. And there was a small handful of those guys that got over and then got over again. You know, so I think that, you know, I think his legacy is that he was one of the best big men, if not the best big man of all time.
If someone relies on you financially, your spouse, your child, anyone, life insurance gives you the peace of mind that they'll have a financial cushion if something ever happens to you. By making it easy to compare your options from top companies, Goliath Life helps make sure you're not paying a penny more than you have to for the life insurance coverage you need to protect those you love. At GoliathLife.com, you can compare personalized quotes from top companies to find your lowest price. The process is fast and easy with no hidden fees, upsells, or hassles. Goliath Life is your one-stop shop to find the life insurance you need at the right price. Head to GoliathLife.com to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you can save. That's GoliathLife.com.
I completely agree with you on that, and his swagger helped set the tone for a whole brand new form of the way we consume pro wrestling. He's the cool heel, right? And that is all the rage in pro wrestling today. People love a cool heel, and that's because of Scott Hall and Kevin Nash, quite frankly, as far as I see it. So let's answer a couple questions here. We got one from Rick Guzman. He wants to know what your guys' favorite matches of his are.
I'll let you play that.
I think, you know, the stuff that he did with, you know, Razor, you know, and all the stuff that he did, early stuff that he did over WWE was fun to watch. My buddy, like, ascending to the top. But, you know, one of my favorite matches is me putting him over for the world title. But one of my favorite matches, no one's really seen because it was a house show, and I'm with Savage, and after our first pay-per-view match,
And Randy had semi-torn his Achilles heel. And so he's on crutches, like, shoot. He's not going to be off them for a while. So Randy went for every town, and Nash was the fill-in guy. So I'm wrestling Kevin in the main event everywhere. And the first place we did it was in Pittsburgh. And when we were the Vegas Connection, you know, we used to say that the booker said, the Vegas Connection will never be nothing, brother. And he's across from me in the ring, and he puts up the gimmick, and he says that, the Vegas Connection will never be nothing. And I threw the diamond cutter on him, and I said, let's go, motherfucker. And we just come up, the place hit it, and we, you know, it was like, you know, having all the heat that I had with Randy, with Kev and Scott. So anyone in the NWO. So I have so many great moments with him, you know, then and even when we were the Vegas Connection. One time I flew in from somewhere and he was there to pick me up. I'm like, bro, what are you doing here? He goes, we're tag team partners. You needed to pick up. Your wife called me. I got you. You know, he was that dependable dude, you know?
Yeah. And that was from Uncle Jay, by the way. This one's from Rick. Do you know why Nash had perceived disdain for smaller wrestlers like Eddie Guerrero or Dean Malenko?
That disdain, that's bullshit. That's the word. He didn't, you know, came from big guys are over. You know what I mean? You know,
yeah.
And he
what
didn't
did he expect him to say.
I don't think there was any disdain at all. He totally respected those guys as far as their work. That's that internet behind the sheets, work. That's not the way Nash felt
Wrestlers ever. Love wrestlers, and they respect what other wrestlers do in the ring, whether they're right or they're wrong. What color they wear, they don't give a shit. But they do know what that guy's doing out there. They see him sacrificing his body. They see him bumping his ass off. And thank God he's doing it, because I am damn sure not going to do it. I don't know how I feel about it.
Well, yeah. This has been a lot of fun talking about Kevin Nash with you guys here, one of the best big men ever. And next week, we're going to take some more fan questions, because it's Ask DDP Snake Pit. We'll hear all the fan questions for Dallas and for Jake. Fun. It is going to be fun. We got a bunch that I'm going to be reading off here on DDP Snake Pit. Anything else you guys would like to throw out there this week?
You know, I do want to say something that we will even do videos, because we have, you know, we've got this YouTube channel that we've got here. If people make videos and we had
quality,
there's some of the people doing a video with their face like right here. We can't use that. Like selfie arm length. Ask the question. Now, if it's a bullshit question, we're not going to even put you up there. We're not going to answer it, you know. But if it's a quality question that, you know, that's going to create conversation, then absolutely. So if you want to get yourself on, we got to get enough of them to be able to put them on during the show. And this way we'll pop you right up here on the YouTube channel, and you will be live.
You'll be a star
on DDP Snake Pit.
Well, Jake's been putting up with my bullshit questions all day today, so I'm going to let you guys go. Cameo, go check these guys out.
Yeah.
Always love talking with you guys. We'll see you next week right here on DDP Snake Pit.
Bang.